Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Election 2025, Local Results. School Board has work to do. Four new members elected look to challenges ahead. By Valerie Wells, Decatur. Once again, four new faces will begin serving as Decatur Public Schools board members later this spring. The lone incumbent running for re-election this year, Jason Dion, narrowly lost to newcomer Devin Joyner, based on unofficial totals. Dion received 2,067 votes, with Joyner taking 2,093. Dion was disappointed with the outcome, he said. If this is the will of Decatur at 5% of the turnout, we'll see what the next 2 to 4 years brings us, Dion said. I hope we see an increase in reading and math scores. He intends to continue being involved in the district as a private citizen again, he said, offering whatever support he can. I guess I won by the hair of my chin, Joyner said of the closeness of the vote tally. I got work to do. Honestly, I didn't win for me. I didn't run for me. I was blessed to get in, so now I got work to do. And however that looks, whatever I vote for, whatever I vote against, has to be logically connected to bettering the environment for teachers, making sure kids get what they need, and improving the system as a whole. I got work to do, and I'm prepared for it. Decatur School Board has seen a great deal of turnover in recent years. 4 years ago, all four incumbents then seated on the board declined to run for second terms. And in the last election in 2023, three new board members were elected, though Bill Clevenger had been appointed to fill the vacant seat left when former board president Dan Oakes retired before his term was complete. Clevenger then ran for and won the seat he holds now, while the two sitting board members in that election cycle, Andrew Taylor and Regan Lewis, also decided against running for re-election. Two of the newly elected board members are educators who have seen life on the other side of the dais. The top vote-getter in this election was Kevin Hale, with 3,062 votes. Hale, a Decatur Public Schools teacher at Johns Hill Magnet School, plans to retire at the end of the school year. One of his top priorities, he said, is to address the teacher shortage, which has put long-term substitutes in classrooms without a certified teacher and required students to be split among other teachers. I want to thank Decatur for putting their faith in me, Hale said. I'm going to work as hard as I can. We've got to get teachers in front of kids. I'll work as hard and as passionately as I can to make Decatur a place for new teachers to come to and to get a teacher in front of every student. We've got to get quality teachers in front of our students. The way to do that is to support them, give them the scaffolding they need, support them to the max. If Decatur is to be a destination district that draws families and teachers, he said, the board needs to roll up their sleeves and look for long-term solutions. Karen Lauritsen, the 2023 Idaho Teacher of the Year, is now a professor in the School of Education at Millikan University, training the next generation of teachers. She received 2,592 votes in the unofficial total. Like Hale, one of her priorities is to address the shortage of certified staff. This is where the hard work begins, and I'm ready to do what is needed for Decatur's kids and for all the teachers, she said. And I think that together with the other three people newly elected, I'm really excited to work with the other people on the board to continue the work that has been started to improve the district and to start working on some of the great ideas. She said she took note of the things that community members said were important to them, which includes raising student achievement as well as hiring more teachers, and will make those things a focus. The fourth new board member with 2,842 votes is Christina Tias, president of the Illinois Central Jurisdictional Youth Department, who creates programs for young leaders. She also serves as a foster parent. The board faces a busy couple of years with the need to search for a new superintendent, as Superintendent Rochelle Clark has announced her intention to retire in June 2026. And with the Roadmap 2030 strategic plan, which includes possible reconfiguration of district programs and facilities, still in development. "I'm ready for it," she said. "I'm up to the challenge. I know the importance of all those things, and I believe in the potential of Decatur Public Schools." Anthony Tony Albertina, who received 1,858 votes, said he doesn't yet know if he'll consider another run down the road after losing this time. "I'll probably just reevaluate my work schedule and family life and see if it's something I want to do," he said. "It was time-consuming, campaigning and attending meetings and all that. Congratulations to the new board members, and I'm sure they'll all do a great job." Cruz joins Culp, Horn, on city council. Decatur turnout 12% after quiet campaign by Brendan Moore. Decatur. Councilman David Horn's election night tradition is to watch a movie at home with his life partner, Mary Garrison. Councilman Ed Culp spent the hours immediately after polls closed picking up yard signs. Newcomer Consuela Cruz, a microbiologist at Primient, told the Herald and Review earlier in the week that she would consider a celebration at a later date if she won. This lack of fanfare summed up a fairly quiet 2025 campaign for three of the seven seats on the Decatur City Council. When all the votes were counted Tuesday evening, it was clear that Horn, 53, and Culp, 56, would be reelected to new four-year terms, and that they would be joined by Cruz, 51. Horn led with 3,568 votes, or 28.2%, followed by Culp with 2,522, or 20%. Next was Cruz, who secured 2,502 votes, or 19.8%. Challengers Jim Wrigley and Mika Ray came up short, securing 2,102 votes, or 16.6%, and 1,960, or 15.5%, respectively. Citywide turnout was about 12%. The results are preliminary, as vote-by-mail ballots can still be counted for up to 2 weeks, as long as they were postmarked by Election Day. But if they hold, Cruz, Culp, and Horn will be sworn in early next month. Horn, 53, has served on the council since 2017 and is a biology professor at Millikan University. Reached Tuesday night, after it became clear he was the top vote-getter, Horn thanked the city residents who supported him. "I take pride in being a resident-centered city council member and striving to listen to the public and to get their feedback," Horn said. "And many of the positions of our residents, I have been a strong advocate for them and will continue to advocate for the residents of our city." Culp, 56, has served on the council since 2021 and is the director of training at the Macon County Law Enforcement Training Center. He said he is humbled by the voters' affirmation of his service so far. "I'm very easily accessible," Culp said. "I mean, I talk to people by email, I meet with them, I talk to them by phone. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of, and I respond to a lot of inquiries that come from the public, and I try to advocate on their behalf. I think people have seen that." Cruz has been active in the community through various channels over the years, from serving on the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign's 4-H Board of Directors to being a big sister through Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Illinois. She said she views the city council as an extension of that service and that she plans to be a service leader. "I worked very hard during this campaign," Cruz said. "It was a lot of walking, for sure, and talking to residents. And I'm glad that they felt I had something to offer the community. And I think that's what we saw tonight. I'm excited to get to work and try to accomplish some of the things that we talked about as I canvassed during the campaign." All three apparent winners were endorsed by the Decatur Trades and Labor Assembly. The Central Illinois Political Action Committee, which is the political arm of the Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce, endorsed winners Culp and Cruz. They also backed Wrigley. No one issue dominated the campaign, and while each candidate differed slightly on what they emphasized, the main topics included the city's population decline and how to reverse it, neighborhood revitalization efforts and ways to fund them, and how to hold the line on fees and taxes while maintaining adequate city services and infrastructure. Ray, 46, an administrative pastor at Salem Baptist Church, told the Herald and Review that he ran the best race I knew how to do with the resources I had, and I'm really thankful for the almost 2,000 people that supported me. This has been the most stressful part-time job interview of my life, Ray said. At the end, I'm thankful to the many people who showed up for me in the hopes that I would become a ray of hope for Decatur. I will continue to pray for the spiritual, physical, and financial growth of our city. I still want people to love and not leave Decatur. Wrigley, 66, is the controller at Cole Enterprises, LLC. Well, obviously, I'm very disappointed, Wrigley told the Herald and Review. But I took a shot at it, and the voters chose other people. And I congratulate them, and I wish them the best, and Decatur the best. And I'm not done yet. Horn lost his first election in 2015 before winning 2 years later. He recalled how difficult it was to put your heart and soul into running for council and not being successful. But he encouraged Ray and Wrigley to stay involved and run again in the future. And I know that for them, if they weren't successful this time, it can be hard and frustrating, Horn said. But I know from experience that persistence can ultimately result in a desired goal, and so I encourage them to do that. The new council will be sworn in on Tuesday, May 6th. Courts. Judge upholds torture murder sentence. Warnsley fighting his 50-year term for Moroa fatal robbery. By Tony Reed. Moroa. Terrace D. Warnsley has failed in the latest attempt to overturn his 50-year sentence for a fatal robbery a judge described as a torture murder. Warnsley had appealed earlier denials in the Macon County Circuit Court, which had refused to reconsider his punishment in the November 2012 homicide of 23-year-old Justin Mentzer in his Moroa home. The body of the victim, who had been robbed of a laptop computer and a video game console, was discovered in his living room with some 125 wounds inflicted by knife and hammer. Stab wounds had penetrated his heart and lungs, and he suffered facial and rib fractures and had multiple missing teeth. This was not just a murder, former Circuit Judge Timothy Stedman had said after Warnsley pleaded guilty to the killing. This was a torture murder. Warnsley had sobbed when Stedman handed down the 50-year sentence in October of 2014, the judge ordering the prison term to be served at 100%. The defendant then began filing a series of legal motions from his prison cell, claiming everything from being misled by his defense lawyers to police coercion, having forced him into making a confession. He also pointed out he suffered from severe learning disabilities and his punishment was unjust. The motions were rejected by the circuit court, and now Warnsley's latest appeal was just turned down by the Fifth District Appellate Court in a 17-page ruling. Writing the unanimous court judgment, Presiding Justice Michael D. McCaney said there were no grounds for saying Warnsley's lawyer had not adequately defended him. The court also found there were no grounds for reconsidering his sentence. McCaney said the record of the trial court proceedings does not support Warnsley's attempt to claim now that his confession was unknowing or involuntary. We conclude that the defendant failed to make a substantial showing of a constitutional violation, and therefore his petition for post-conviction relief was properly dismissed, the justice added. An accomplice in the killing, Douglas W. Taylor, now age 33, also was sentenced to 50 years. Taylor is being held in the Pontiac Correctional Center, while Warnsley is in the Sheridan Correctional Center. Both are scheduled to be paroled in November of 2062. ADM volunteers tutor in Mount Zion. Work at junior high, part of community service outreach, by Valerie Wells, Mount Zion. Students at Mount Zion Junior High School who need a little extra help and maybe an extra adult friend can find one, thanks to ADM Cares. Volunteers from Archer Daniels Midland Company can sign up for various community service initiatives. And Tessa Jarvis, a meat scientist in the research division, chose tutoring at the school. She works with Cadence Hopkins, an eighth grader. "I talked to the student and the parents," said Dean of Students Kelly Fox. "I share some more confidential information with Tessa because she's working with her in some areas she's struggling with. She's not just a tutor, but someone she can talk about life things with a little bit." Recently, Cadence pointed out to Jarvis that Jarvis comes to her workplace, school, and visits her, and she wants to visit Jarvis at ADM. So Tessa has offered, and we would like to see Cadence be passing all of her classes and be at a good place where she could leave the school to go, Fox said. So hopefully, that is one of the things we talked about today. If we can get to that point, Cadence can make that trip. Having a goal like that helps students like Cadence something to work toward, Fox said. And having that individual attention gives the kids an extra boost. I think it's just the one-on-one, and knowing that someone is taking a special interest in them, Fox said. The program kicked off during the spring 2024 semester, with 6 volunteers throughout the program. As part of the program, the volunteers visit with students who need support with organizing and extra support in classes during their study hall once a week, said ADM spokesman Dane Lisser. The ADM volunteers have found the experience to be very rewarding, and a few have continued to meet with the same students for about a year now, Tessa being among those volunteers, Lisser said. For Jarvis, she first signed up to tutor a little more than a year ago, with only a few months left in the school year. She liked it so much, she said, that when the chance came again last fall, she chose tutoring again and has been working with Cadence all year. ADM encouraged people to sign up, not just for a one-time slot, but to do it continuously throughout the semester, to gain some rapport with students and make it more beneficial to the students, Jarvis said. By the end of the year, we were talking about next year and what I was going to do. And when I signed up for the year, I reached out to Fox to make sure I could work with the same students so we could start off on the right foot. She helps with anything that I'm struggling with, Cadence said. Whatever I have to do, she helps with. And it doesn't begin and end with academics. Cadence also talks to Jarvis about, as Fox phrased it, life things, like getting along with her siblings. She's older, and she's done this, and she's really nice, Cadence said. She listens. Black Crows to Play State Fair by Olivia Jacobs, Springfield. Rock band The Black Crows will headline the Illinois State Fair grandstand on Saturday, August 9th. The band has been a staple in the rock and roll genre since it debuted in 1990, infusing blues and rock with high energy. The band has sold over 30 million albums worldwide, according to a news release. The band reunited in 2019, and since then they have performed over 150 shows in 20 countries. Some of the hits include She Talks to Angels, Remedy, and Hard to Handle. The band, along with Jimmy Page, also recently re-released its Live at the Greek album in honor of its 25th anniversary. The Black Crowes' newest album, Happiness Bastards, marked their official return to the rock and roll music scene, the news release said. Tickets for the show will go on sale at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 5th, via Ticketmaster. Ticket prices will range from $70 to $135. A $30 pre-show party ticket will be available as an upgrade. The Illinois State Fair will run from August 7th through August 17th at the fairgrounds in Springfield. Other headliners announced so far include Megan Maroney on August 10th, Sheryl Crow on August 12th, Snoop Dogg on August 13th, Brad Paisley on August 14th, Def Leppard on August 16th, and the Turnpike Troubadours on August 17th. More acts are to be announced. U.S. Air Force Band to Land in Decatur by Danette Beckett. Decatur. The U.S. Air Force Band's Airmen of Note will make a stop in Decatur as part of an 11-day tour through the Midwest. Considered the premier jazz ensemble of the United States Air Force, the band will perform a free show at 7:30 p.m. April 29th at Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan University's campus. The band will also perform at nearby venues, including Champaign Central High School, the Effingham Performance Center, and Morris University Center in Edwardsville. The musical program ranges from big band hits of the 1940s to brand new compositions written for the tour. Tickets, although free, are required for the concerts. Information is available on the U.S. Air Force Band website. Towns See Mix of Old, New Faces by Scott Perry. Macon County voters went to the polls Tuesday to select neighbors to represent them on their city councils and village boards. The following is a recap of contested races, a look at communities that still have some work to do to fill those seats, and those that covered all the bases ahead of Tuesday's voting. Forsyth. Dave Wendt was elected Tuesday to a fourth term on the Forsyth Village Board. Unofficial vote totals show Wendt with 330 votes and Jim Ashby with 290 votes. Chelsea Kidd appears to have edged Tom Cantwell for the third spot at 252 votes to 243 votes, respectively. Rounding out the trustee ballot, but not elected, were Michael Brown with 206 votes and Michael Dougherty with 127 votes. Bob Gruenwald and Marilyn Johnson did not seek re-election to the four-year terms. Mayor Jim Peck was unopposed in his re-election bid. Harristown. Harristown has a new mayor. Unofficial vote totals from Tuesday's election have Les Jenkins defeating Stephen Shepard, 126 votes to 65 votes, respectively. Current mayor Evelyn Deverell didn't seek re-election. Current board members Jay Trusner and Kurt Terry also were re-elected Tuesday, as was Jamie Jackson. April Bogan did not seek another term. Niantic. Jeff Kepler is moving up. The current Niantic Village Board member was elected Tuesday to be the community's next village president. Unofficial vote totals have Kepler defeating Alicia Matic, 97 votes to 59 votes, respectively. Former mayor Robert Embry, who did not seek re-election, stepped down from the position in January, citing health reasons. Voters also were asked Tuesday to re-elect Brenda Bailey as the village clerk. Finally, the village sought to fill 3 4-year terms and a 2-year unexpired term on the village board. Trustee Ellen McKinney was seeking re-election to the board. She joined Heather Vaughn and Jordan Peck, who both filed as write-in candidates, to fill seats being vacated by Jeff McKinney and Kathy Voigt. Holly Russell filed as a write-in to fill the 2-year seat currently held by Kepler. Long Creek. Voters will have to wait a couple more weeks to find out who will represent them on the Long Creek Village Board. That's because the write-in vote totals won't be reported until all mail-in ballots have been received and counted, Macon County Clerk Josh Tanner said. Unofficial vote results from Tuesday's election show incumbent trustee Dan Clow with 86 votes, and Michelle Comer with 81 votes, and Matt Niesman with 73 votes. The incumbents were being challenged by write-in candidate John Thomas. Matthew Thacker ran uncontested as a write-in candidate for a 2-year unexpired term. Among the first orders of business for the newly seated board will be the selection of a new mayor. No candidate filed to run for the vacant seat that had previously been held by Cheryl Smith. The longtime mayor resigned from the position at the end of October. Clow has been serving as interim mayor. Not enough. Long Creek won't be the only municipality looking to fill vacancies after the new boards are seated. The village of Mount Zion went into Tuesday's election with 4 seats needing to be filled. It ended the day still needing to fill 3 of them. Incumbent trustee Chris Ciuda was the only candidate on the ballot for the 3 available 4-year terms. Trustees Donna Scales and Wendy Kernan opted not to seek re-election. There was no candidate on the ballot to fill the final 2 years of an unexpired term. Trustee Philip Tibbs, who was appointed to the seat last year, did not file to complete the term. In Warrensburg, a board vacancy was created by the election of Leland Hackle as mayor. But that's not all. While current trustee Doug Fisher sought re-election, Shaquille Freeman and Carrie Hood didn't. The unexpected decisions left those ballot spots empty. Crystal Eskew, who was appointed to fill a seat that had been held by Pam Hood, filed to complete the final 2 years of that term. In Oriana, the decisions by trustees Judy Runyon and Lauren Hisser not to seek re-election leave 2 seats needing to be filled. Current board member Chelsea White was elected Tuesday to another term, as was Mayor Aaron Keithley. Just right. Some communities went into Tuesday's election with all their bases covered. In Argenta, Mayor Cindy Lutke and current trustee Matthew Kaufman were re-elected Tuesday. They were joined on the ballot by trustee candidates Ronald Greider and Robert Todd Metzger. Current trustees Connie Barker and Lorianne Mitchell didn't seek another term. In Maroa, Ryan Wakely was re-elected to another term as mayor. Also re-elected were City Clerk Crystal Parrott, Ward 1 Alderperson Monty Groupman, and Ward 3 Alderperson Angela Bogle. In Ward 2, Mark Hunter was elected to replace Tony Stoutenborough, who didn't seek re-election. In Blue Mound, all current board members sought re-election. They were Village President Scott Younger and trustees Jeffrey Reed Jr., Ross Carls, Tara Mama, Phil Jacobs, and Jeanette Crackle. Jacobs and Crackle sought 2-year terms. Birthdays for April 3rd. Actor Eric Braeden, The Young and the Restless, is 84. Actor Marsha Mason is 83. Singer Wayne Newton is 83. Singer Tony Murphy Orlando is 81. Singer Richard Thompson is 76. Guitarist Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 69. Actor Alec Baldwin is 67. Actor David Hyde Pierce, Frasier, is 66. Comedian actor Eddie Murphy is 64. Singer Sebastian Bach of Skid Row is 57. Actor Jenny Garth, Beverly Hills 90210, is 53. Actor Adam Scott, Severance, is 52. Actor Kobe Smulders, How I Met Your Mother, is 43. Associated Press. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. Please stay tuned.